Attitude of prayer. Lord, open our understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the word is proclaimed, we may receive holy wisdom to understand the gifts you have bestowed on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
You are the light. You are the salt. I don't get a lot of times to teach you. So these sermons for the past couple of weeks is a combination of studying and preaching. And I know this is another part that we're still in the Sermon on the Mount, where here we are, Jesus is reflecting on the power that we already have. He's telling you, you're the salt, you're the light. He's not saying, do you want to be the salt? Or do you want to be the light? Here with God, Jesus is setting the expectation and blessing us as we are called to be the church. Yes, we know this thing. You are the salt. You are the light of the world. But the truth in today's culture is that they're not seeing the light. They're not seeing the salt shaking them. The church doesn't want anything. The society out there doesn't want anything to do with the church. Sadly, we have this power. We have this story. We have this beautiful story that's never told. They don't want to do it because what we represent to them, what they see us as. Not to mention because one, if we have lost our saltiness and our light is getting dim. You know, just heard on the news the other day, we just started February and it has been over 56 mask murders happening in this country already. Suicide is at an all-time high. Why this world is, people's life are so dark? You're the light, you're the salt. Let me tell you a little bit about salt. Salt has been used for thousands of years, since 6000 BCE. It's been used for seasoning. It's been used for healing. It's been used for preserving, cooking, and it's used to heat up food. It said that the Jewish people in Jesus' days cooked their food in a roundish clay oven. It's like an oven shaped like this with a clay with a cutout. And that's where they cooked their food in. They baked their food. The women would need portions of salt to put into this clay. Not the kind of salt that you and I use today, but what was evaporated from the Dead Sea. This is like a crude rock of salt. And they would dump water from the Dead Sea, and then it evaporates into large bins and makes these salt slabs. But with many other, it has many kinds of minerals in them and salt water. The people would then go and mine these rocks and sell them. The salt was done used for cooking purpose, was packed into cakes and mixed with animal dung. Yeah, you heard me right. Animal dung. And then they will make them into briquettes and put them into the oven. And that's how they cook. And sometimes they just use the slab of salt by itself, and then maybe put some dung with it, and together that's how they cook. But why salt? Because salt is a catalyst. Salt makes fire hotter. Salt makes the fire burn longer and more evenly. In fact, many people still put salt into wax candles to make them burn brighter and longer. But here's the thing. Once the salt was used over and over in time, it breaks down. The minerals will be depleted, and the salt will lose its catalytic ability. And that's when a lot was tossed and trampled over. So when Jesus said you lose its saltiness and the trampled over it, that's what he's coming from. It lost its saltiness, the mineral content needed to stroke the fire. Crude salt, in fact, evaporates from the sea, which contains a number of minerals, will lose its saltiness in many ways. Dissolving water will lose its saltiness when you cook it. It loses saltiness in all these different ways. But we understand that it is not as all the salts are not the same. Depending on the mineral content, it would taste good or not so good. It contained too many minerals or too high of other concentrations. So in fact, in Jesus' day, the salt could stop being salty. That's the point he was talking about. There are many ways for that to happen. But once it lost its ability to purify, cook, and preserve, it's no more value. It's as if you think about a car. When it drives off the lot, the minute it drives off, its value starts to depreciate. That's the essence of what salt does. In a sense, salt is what makes the first century was very valuable. The soldiers were paid in saltarium. This is where we get salary from. It's like a portions of salt. It had a lot of value and was a desirable commodity. And salt was a symbol of purity to Jewish people. So much so that a bit of salt was always used for the sacrifices. Perhaps is it because it makes the fire flame gets bigger, higher, you know? Similar to the way the Spirit shared Elijah's offering. Salt is also the nature of God's covenant of humankind. If you read in Numbers 18, 19, as a Maggie talk about the covenant by salt. It's actually in the Bible about three times. It's very important, but I'm not going to touch that today. That's another day about this covenant by salt. To have salt in the covenant meant purity. It meant loyalty, meant durability, fidelity, allegiance, faithfulness, trust, passion, healing. But most of all, to have integrity with the relationship with God. All of these are descriptors of salt is used. You had salt in the altar because one has salt in the covenant. So why does Jesus mention salt and light in the same teaching? Because for Jesus, they are intrinsically connected. Salt fuels light. The covenant with God's faith and the whole visible signs of government, with visible sign of God within others can see, are necessarily bound. Salt and light is a twined concept. You can't separate them. You're not only called to be faithful, my friends. Your faith must be lived out in a way that reveals God's light into this world, to engage in relationship with God. To be faithful and true means that you have salt within you. And that salt is what fuels the ability to shine God's light into the world so that others can see God's divine presence within you. Salt is a catalyst. You are to be a catalyst for the change in this world. Jesus says it's part of what it means to be a disciple, what it means to have salt in this covenant of God, because it is salt that fuels the light. Be the salt, be the light. You are the salt, you are the light. But now here's the thing about, I want to just bring out from all of that about salt. Salt is a mineral. Salt is not a condiment. Salt is not a spice. Salt is not a seasoning. And salt is not a flavoring. Salt is a mineral. It is the mineral that brings out the flavor of what is inside and what's being salted. It is not used, if you don't use too much of it, if you use too much of it, you're going to taste the mineral. But I want you to get that. It is a mineral, and it's used to bring out the flavor of what is being salted. But the function of salt is not to add a certain flavor or taste or spice or seasoning. No, the purpose of salt is to bring out, to enhance the inner essence of what is being salted. You might not have gotten that because it's just a you're the salt, but it's the function. Think of the function of the salt. It's to bring out what it is being salted. But here's the thing. Light and salt may seem quite different things, but they have this thing in common. The light is invisible. It is invisible in itself, but becomes visible to the things that it illuminates. And salt does that too with the flavor, but brings out the flavor that it is salting. So a light is to be the light of something, and salt is to be the salt of something. And this is why the Lord speaks of salt of the earth and light of the world. In other words, it is the reality in which we live. I want you to hear this morning and hear it so clear, because on the surface, when you hear the scripture, we miss it. You are not the light. You are not the salt. You are not the flavor. You are the salt of the earth. It means that you bring out, you help to bring out the flavor. You live to light up the light. The salt to bring out the taste that is actually being salted. You kind of understand that. So it starts with you. Your life has to be in such a way that it's when somebody sees you, you see, okay, that's where the salt comes from. And you never touch somebody else with it. Somebody sees you with that. And that, no, you get to salt, be a salt in their lives. You get to be the light in somebody's lives, because the light is not you. The light is what comes through you. Amen? You get that? Because sometimes you mess that up. For example, when others witness the fruits of the Spirit as listed in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in you, you and our lives, we're helping bring out the flavor. When we live like those things, when we live as all God intends us to live, when we live as what talks about in Romans 12, when we live that kind of life, people watching you will see Christ in you. That's the salt bringing out the flavor. That's the light bringing the light. I'm going to talk about light in the details in a minute. But I want you to wear something else. How weird this might have sounded to the people on the Mount of Beatitude, because in the ancient world, salt was a negative. By the large, it was negative. But Jesus coined this meme. You are the salt of the earth, and you talk about the salt of people, meaning good. When we talk about that, you're the salt, we talk about being good, kind, and all those nice things. But usually it means something negative. If you think about Lot's wife, who wept for her children, and she was leaving behind all the hard, how hard that was. She had a river of tears. You know the story with Lot's wife. And all she was crying that day, the main ingredients in tears is what? Salt. She wept and turned herself. Basically, she cried herself to death. And it is symbolizing that she became a pillar of tears, a pillar of salt. It was a negative. Also in the Middle East, during that time, salt was spread on the land to poison it as a punishment for the landowner who was transgressed against society. And in many ways, Jesus is talking and taking a negative that it's the Mediterranean culture and making it a positive and esteeming its value. And we fail to appreciate the significance of all of that. The immediate context of Jesus's salt of the earth statement is being persecuted for righteousness. You know, last week we listened to Jesus' sermon and more, giving its equivalent to the Ten Commandments. He gave his 8 blessings on Mount. But one of those blessings are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And so in the Beatitudes, we get the good, the bad, and the ugly. We get it all in the Beatitudes. You get the good blessings and you get the blessings that it seems not so good, but it's still a blessing. If you live for Jesus as the salt of the earth, you should expect to get what Jesus is phrasing. He had this phrase, we see that in Mark 9:49, it said, salted by fire. We expect to be salted by fire. The righteousness will be persecuted. Those who are blessed will be persecuted. We will come into hostility. People are not going to want to hear this story. And they might insult you, might turn your back on you. This is what we're talking about. You'll be salted by fire. It comes with a good, bad, and ugly, and it's still a blessing. Are you following Jesus because he's the way, the truth, and the life? So if you live for Jesus as the salt of the earth, you should expect to be insulted and falsely accused and mocked. The problem is that most of us, followers of Jesus, don't put ourselves in the line of fire. We stay back and be in a place of comfort. I'm not going in there. We talked about prevenience grace just before. If we trust in Jesus, in the prevenient grace, that space that God is, the Spirit is kind of stirring in you, you need to go in that conversation, go into that situation. If you trust this God that is before, if you trust the prevenient grace in your life, you can step in faithfully into that situation, have that hard conversation. You can do that. Because what Jesus is telling us to follow him comes with a cost. There is a cost. We've talked about that. There's a cost. And that's part of what it means to be the salt of the earth. There is a cost. But everyone, even when you're making a positive impact, you better expect to be salted by fire. So what are your true colors? What are your flavors? What character of Christ remains with you? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another. Mark speaks about being at peace with one another is another sign of your saltiness. Now for the light. Light is very ancient. We know that. God's primal decree is light. God called creation into being by saying these words. You know them. Let there be light. And Jesus' primary decree is let there be love. Every soul hungers for two things, light and love. We hunger for it and we thirst for righteousness. It's yielded for light and love. Because without light, you cannot grow. Without light, you can't put it. It's simple science. It's biology 101. Without the light, the plant won't grow. We all need light in our life. That was God's primary decree. Jesus adds that we need love in our lives. Anybody out there don't feel love because they're in the darkness, don't feel they're being loved. You see them in the darkness, they're doing drugs, they're doing all sorts of things. We hunger for it, we crave for it. Jesus himself is both these, the definition for both of these, light and love. He's the greatest lover. So light and love find their completeness and fulfillment in him. Later in the passage where he read and Matthew goes on to talk about the Torah, the law being fulfilled in Jesus, who himself embodied the Torah. Jesus himself embedded the temple. If Jesus is the light of the world and the greatest lover, then the two questions from the church will always be, how will we be the light things up? How will we love one another? The two questions of the church from the very beginning to the end is, how well do we light things up, especially lights up Jesus Christ, and how well do we love each other? If we fail in either one of those, that we don't have an answer in either one of those, we are not living in what Jesus called us to do. So I'm asking you, how well, you answer that for yourself, how well as a church we are lifting up Christ and lighting up with loving one another in this world. Notice we are called to be the light of the world. We're not called to be groaning of the world or the mourning of the world. We are called to be the light and love of the world. Live as children of the light, my friends, Paul says in Ephesians 5:8. While we have the light, trust in the light that you may become sons and daughters of the light, as we hear in John 12:26. So this light, the symbolism of light, is huge for Jesus. Now, here's another thing I want to talk about briefly. It's about how you trim a wick. You know, untrimmed wick, you can give off smoke and it dimish the light when you don't trim your wick properly. When you trim your wick, it makes the candle smaller so that it can burn brighter and cleaner. This is a candle, and if you let it burn without trimming it, it will start smoking, and gradually the flame will be dim, get dimmer and dimmer. You need to clean out your wick, my friends, and make it stable. The light gets stable, there's no more soot in it when you do that. But in this thing, because when we do the, we are the wick, and Jesus is the light. So it comes back to us. How are we cleaning out ourselves? Remember, say the salt was the purification. How are we using the salt in ourselves? What are the sacrifices? Remember, I tell you, for you to make a disciple, you yourself have to be a disciple. Because when you experience God, know you can tell somebody about Jesus. When your wick is not trimmed, your trees are not pruned, you can't go tell somebody something else. You gotta fix you first. So check yourselves. Amen. But we don't want to do that because we don't like to see what we see in the mirror. But God is calling us out right now. Check how you're spending your time. What are the things that are taking up your time? How are you doing with your one-on-one time and building up that relationship with Jesus? Because here's the thing about light. We think about Christmas Eve when we pass in the light from one another. We take one light and we light another taper. And we light another and another and so forth. But when you light that person's, your light doesn't get dimmer, does it? We could spend, it doesn't get darker. And the ones that we light into, they doesn't get darker, but it stays lit. In other words, the essence of life is to give itself away without diminishing itself, without diminishing the light. I could do that and keep lighting tapers over and over for this whole night, and nothing will change. It will stay strong and vibrant. And that is the essence of light. But why do we put in a coming? Why do we put in on a stand? Because the same reason we put a light on the stand is because the light stands out and make it goes further for us to see. When I stand up here and preach to you, I am putting the light on the stand so all could see. When you're serving your communities, you're serving the food pantry, you are the light put on a stand. Beloved, it's our responsibility for you and I to put it. It's to walk in the light and to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what God is calling us to walk in the light that lights our path, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The rest of it is Jesus' responsibility. Do you hear that? How is your walk? Where are you walking? We just sang, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." But here is the thing. It doesn't shine on you. It doesn't light you up. It meant to light Jesus up. It shines Jesus and lights Jesus up. So let your light shine that people will see Jesus in you. You want this true relationship of the true light in the world. And I end by bringing the two images together, light and salt. Salt of the earth lights the lamp with a lamp under your feet and light my path, we pray. Because Jesus is the light of this world. And that is the ultimate thing. Jesus, who is the light of the world. And you and I work as salt shakers of the earth. Amen. Salt shakers of the earth. As we get ready for communion, I want you to think about that. I want you to think, how are you lighting up this world? We come each time and to receive Jesus Christ. We come each time and to receive a new fuel, new salt. Get some salt that fuels the light so we can go out there and be the light. Because he was telling us at his table as he prepared himself for us that I know your life is hard. I know life is going to be rough. I know I'm asking you to do a lot, but I'm getting ready to sacrifice myself for you. I'm ready to give my life for you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm leaving you with some nourishment. I'm leaving you with some salt so you can keep lighting up the world. I'm going to give you my body, and I'm going to give you give you my blood, which is a new covenant. I'm not leaving you alone. And I'm telling you this, when you come, you must do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me, because I am the true light in you. This is not just coming to the table and eating bread. This is giving you nourishment, new nourishment to do what God has called us to do. So pray with me. Father God, we ask that you pour out your spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Pour out your spirit. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in the world, to all the world in ministry until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in his holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I invite the who are helping me this morning with this. So what we're doing today for our friends and family, we're going to ask you to come up into the center and we'll serve you communion from each side. And you're free to go back. You're free to go and sit and pray. This is how we'll receive. All are welcome at Christ's table in the United Methodist Church, because we deem everyone worthy of God's grace. And this is a means of grace. Amen. You all clean up. Let's serve them first. To the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ given for you, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ given for you. Take, eat, and remember your salvation. Mistaken. I'm sorry. Two. No, one of you. No, give me this. One, two. Go. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, make your words be heard, dear Father. Make your words be heard, dear Lord Jesus. Let the people come before you. Dear Lord Jesus. Let it pray.
Thank you.
The salt fuels the light. The salt fuels the light. You are the salt. You are the light. The call is to go and be the light of Christ into the world. So may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.